You better look out, Satan. The blood of Jesus Christ is against you. We claim Holy Ghost revival. You're the center of my joy. All that's good and perfect comes from you. You're the heart of my contentment. Oh, for all I do, Jesus, you're the center of my joy.
Read again.
Jesus, you're the center of my joy. All the good and perfect come from you. One more time. Jesus, you're the center of my joy. All that is good and perfect comes from you. Oh, you're the heart of my contentment. Oh, for all I do. Jesus, you're the center.
I meant to say something else a little while ago, too. Girls, these girls that are sitting on the front here, I'm gonna have to ask on Sunday night. Hallelujah to God. Why don't we go ahead and stand on our feet? I just feel like having you stand. Let's love the Lord, church. Come on. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. David said, "Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good." Hallelujah. You can't tell me, devil, that he isn't good. I've already tasted. You can't tell me that he won't answer prayer. I've already tried him. And he is faithful. Well, I surely preached the message this morning. I'm going to have you turning your Bibles in two places in the Word of the Lord. I'm going to read it, first of all, in the book of Ezekiel, chapter 47. And then from there, I will go in Scripture in the 2 Corinthians, chapter 4. And I will start at verse number 6. 2 Corinthians, chapter 4, and verse number 6. But first of all, Ezekiel, chapter 47. So good to be home. Well, surely preached a message this morning and talked about putting our anchor in God and holding on. I was sitting over there a while ago when I saw everybody worshiping. It's like the Lord just put a light on and brought a scripture to mind that said, "The same shall keep you if you hold fast." If you hold fast,
yeah,
to your confidence,
right,
and you're rejoicing until the end. My, I just wonder what's going to happen here in a little bit. I think we need to make this service a time of confidence and rejoicing in the Lord. Ezekiel chapter 47, beginning at verse 1. "Afterward, he brought me again unto the door of the house, and behold, waters issued out from under the threshold of the house eastward, and from the forefront of the house stood toward the east. And the waters came down from under the front of the right side of the house, the south side of the altar. Then brought he me out of the way of the gate northward, and led me about the way without unto the utter gate by the way that looketh eastward. And behold, there ran out waters on the right side. And when the man that had the line in his hand went forth eastward, he measured 1,000 cubits. And he brought me through the waters. The waters were to be ankles. Again he measured 1,000 and brought me through the waters, and the waters were to the knees. Again he measured 1,000 and brought me through. The waters were to the loins. Afterward he measured 1,000, and it was a river that I could not pass over. For the waters were risen, waters to swim in, a river that could not be passed over. And then I'd like to read 2 Corinthians chapter 4, beginning at verse 6. Just a few verses here. For God, 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 6, for God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, has shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. But we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. I'd like to read verse 7 again. But we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. Let's lift our hands and love the Lord, church. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Come on, church. Let's love the Lord. You may be seated tonight. I'm going to tell you that the Lord, our God, is a great God. He is a merciful God that knows no end to mercy. Where there is a willing heart, there is a merciful God. Where there is a repentant heart, there is a merciful God. I believe Brother Kenny Chilton could say amen to mercy and what God's done for him in his past. I think that if all of us in our own character and we looked at our own lives, if we were to be honest with ourselves, we could too say that as far as we were concerned, we would have given up on ourselves a long time ago. But we are not depending on ourselves to make it. We are depending on God to bring us through. A man that depends on himself, as Brother Shirley said this morning, would definitely make shipwreck. He would definitely lose everything that he has. Brother Shirley was talking about the young people, and he made a statement about sitting on the first two pews up toward the front here, real close as you can get in, if you're going to date. And he made a statement about if they got to learn to be trusted. They've got to learn. They've got to have trust put in them. And we've got to put it in them by teaching them how to trust God, bringing them toward the front of the house of God, letting them come to the place and letting them worship the Lord and feel His presence. And I just kind of had a thought pass through my mind. If you can't trust them to be obedient in the house of God, you sure ain't going to be able to trust them to be obedient out in that world. Come on now. If you can't be faithful and hear the word that's being preached and be submitted with the authority of God going forth, you can forget it when you get out there with a call to hell and reaching for your soul. Come on, let's love the Lord, church. My God. The word of the Lord teaches us that we have this treasure in an earthen vessel. It's somewhere down on the inside. I guess if I simply had a title for what I'm about to preach, it'd simply be sunken treasure. Sunken treasure. Our lost treasure. Somewhat like that. Maybe there is a place that all of us get to in our life that if we're not careful, we'll become cold and lifeless. If we're not careful, values will lose their place. As I was sitting there a while ago, I had the Lord just speak to me simply as Brother Shirley was ministering to the church. He said, you tell the church that I said the fight's over. I'm telling you, just as plain as day. And I dwelt on that for a moment. He said, I didn't say that the wars were over. I didn't say that they wouldn't fight battles. I didn't say that they would not cross any more desert paths. Or that they would not go through any more tactics and time and wondering, God, how am I going to make it through this one? But the Lord said, the fight that you've been fighting this past year, that fight's over with. All He wants you to do is hold fast to your confidence and your rejoicing and give Him the praise for what He's going to do. I was reading an article of a great ship somewhere in the 1800s that was crossing in one of the oceans. And somewhere along its pathway, carrying much gold upon this ship, storm came and it began to lose its way and its direction, and before long the ship went asunder and it began to sink to the very bottoms of the deep in the ocean. And for years and years, over 100 years, that treasure laid waste in the bottom of that ocean. The ship that went down was simply called Central America. It was probably one of the greatest gold losses upon a ship that had ever been known of by man. Millions and millions and millions and millions of dollars were sunk to the very bottom of the ocean. There was many that thought that they might someday try to search for the treasure that had sunken to the bottom of the ocean. There was many that somehow stood back and proclaimed that the day would come that they alike would reach someday and maybe try to get the treasure that had fallen so far below. No wonder why that the writer came along and wrote so beautifully and said, "We have this treasure in an earthen vessel." Maybe that hasn't sunk in really good yet. I said, there's some treasure down in your vessel somewhere. This man by the name of Thomas began to get hungry and got to the place that he wanted to go and search for this treasure. And everyone began to try to discourage him and tell him that it wouldn't do any good anyway because it was so far down that it couldn't be reached by any radar device that man had. It was no way that passing over this area that they'd ever be able to pick it up by sonar radar and find out where the ship had went down anyway. And so all of the people that decided to look for gold decided that they would stay in waters where they could pick it up by only the radar that went down far enough. The writer Ezekiel said, "He caused me to stand." And the man went out and he measured. And the first time he measured, it was ankle deep. And then again, he took me another way. And he went out and measured into the waters. And this time it came up and it was knee deep. And then he took me to another place. And he went out and he measured. And this time it was up to the loins. And he said after that, he took me out and he measured this time. And it was waters to swim in. Waters that could not be passed over. It was a depth that could not be comprehended by the man, by any man's mind. Ezekiel said, in other words, I saw water as far as the eye could see. I saw revelation as far as the eye could see. I saw hope as far as hope could ever be hoped for. I caught a vision of something, and I got a hold of something, and I heard a voice that said, wherever the waters run, it's going to be healing. Wherever the waters touch, it's going to be made whole. Say, church, have we forgot that we're serving a mighty God? Have we forgot that we're serving a God that cannot fail? Come on now. Glory to God. So this man, Thomas, began to try to devise a way that he might find the ship that had went down. And so he finally came with an idea, but it cost a lot of money to invest in it. And so they made a small submarine that cost in the millions of dollars, somewhere around $8 million to build this thing. But he knew that the treasure that was below was worth a whole lot more than the submarine that they had built. And this thing was devised that so it would go down into the deep waters and it might be able to pick up by radar, that it might be able to find the shape of a ship, that it might come across the screen, that it might bring a ray of hope. And sure enough, they had discovered there was about 200 miles off the ocean front in the western part of the world. And so they went here and they began to cross the ocean. And one day, He picked up on something, and they saw it as it come across the screen. They saw the beautiful ship as it began to make form a shape of something that looked as though it would be a ship, the helm of it, and one thing and another in different places. And so sure enough, he went down into the deep, and there he saw one of the main oars as it was laying out there on the ground. And he took that blaster on the front of that thing, and he began to blast all across that floor, and as far as he could see was gold. The beauty of gold everywhere. And it come across the screen, and they saw that. And the people that saw it began to rejoice. Come on, church. I said the people that saw the gold began to rejoice. My, my, my. You know what happened when they discovered that gold? 1989, they began to service it to the top. Between the years of 1987 and 1989, they accomplished a lot of hardship, and they're still bringing it up right now. But they had people begin to fight them. They had people that had not sought the treasure. They had people that had sat back and not done anything. People that had not accomplished anything. People that wanted to hang around in ankle-deep water. That didn't want to go way down deep. They wanted to claim the goal. But I got news for you. You know who got the goal? Thomas got the goal. Come on, church. Who's going to get the goal? Those that search for it. Why don't we go ahead and rejoice in the Lord a little bit? He come about second higher. What happened was gold grabbers showed up everywhere. My, it's amazing to me. People that won't put anything in the work of God. People that won't put any worship in the church service. What they'll do when gold starts appearing on the forefront of the church. Oh, it's quiet here. Did I say something wrong? I said, it's amazing to me. People have laid back and gotten cold and out and indifferent. What they'll do when some gold comes to the surface. What they'll do when a newborn baby or when somebody comes to life. I'm going to tell you something. It doesn't matter if one of these here, if Curtis Tommy has gold that God's given him because he's reached way down deep, you can't take it away from him. It's his gold. You got to get your own, friend. You got to reveal your own treasure. I feel the Holy Ghost telling me that there's some of you that's got some sucking gold. You've lost some gold in your life. You've lost treasure in your life. It's sucking way down deep in the vessel. It's below surface anymore. You can't pick it up on the radar. Some of you used to be soul winners. You used to be caught up in the spirit of soul winning. When God first delivered you, you was a madman for the kingdom of God. You had power. You had fervency. You had vigorous. You was excited. You wanted to win souls. But what has happened? Through a matter of time, you've lost your treasure. You better hear me now. God spoke to me over this message. Oh, mighty God, I don't know about you, but I've discovered something. I have went down into an area that I can't stop here, Sister Shirley. I can't stop right here. I found a little gold. I've got a hold of a prayer life, but that's not good enough. I can't stand around on the surface. I can't hang around on the banks and show everybody what I've got. I can't polish it up and say, look at here. I got this in the ocean. I went down about knee deep one day, and I found this about 22 years ago, or about 7 years ago, or about 8 years ago when I got the Holy Ghost. And I want to show you this. I was an alcoholic. I was bound by the devil. I'm not going to hang around all day long on the edge of the shore. About what I've got, I'm going to say, I'll be back with some more fruit. I've got to go out in the deep. I've got treasure that I want to bring back. I've got something that I want to give the kingdom of God. Oh, he come a most up out of the high air. Fucking treasure. My Lord, some of you used to really worship God, but you've allowed your treasure to sink down deep. You claiming you still got it, ain't you? Yeah, I've got it. I used to sell it in the deep water, but somewhere across your adventure, friend, you allowed your treasure to sink to the very bottom of the vessel. Telling about what you used to have don't mean a hill of beans to God. Bragging about the revivals of the past, that don't mean nothing to God. I'm going to tell you something. God, give me an explanation. He gave me an understanding of what He was saying. He said, you was an alcoholic, wouldn't you? I said, yes, Lord, I was. He said, I delivered you, didn't I? I said, yes, Lord, you did. A few days ago, we was in a revival in New Orleans, and there was a man that was bound by alcohol. And I went down there, and I began to pray with him. And he was just sitting there, and putting a big old rip roar up. I laid my hands on him. I said, Satan, manifest yourself. He began to roar and scream, put on a big fit, foaming at the mouth. I said, we don't have to put up with all that junk. I said, Satan, I command you to shut your mouth. I want you to come out of this man right now. He came out of him. The man got the Holy Ghost talking in tongues. Hear me, church. Come on, you better hear me. What are you talking about, preacher? I told that devil. I looked him in the eye. I said, hey, devil, I've been down deep. He reached down and got me. He brought me to the surface. He pulled some gold up. And I know he can set me free. You can't produce anything if you don't have anything. If you don't have any gold, you don't know if there's any anyhow. If you haven't seen anybody delivered, you don't know if they can be delivered. If you haven't put your hands to work, you don't know if God will do it anyhow. If you're living off everybody else's faith, you're nothing but an empty vessel with gold tucking down deep. But I just don't know if it works. That's right. You're living an ankle-deep faith, friend. You don't know if it works because you don't want to latch on out. You don't want to go out there. You don't want to go down too deep because it takes a lot of work. You don't want to die out to your old fleshly ways. Some of you tonight, I'll give anything. If you'd reach back and get a hold of something you used to have, I'd give anything. If somehow or another you'd go way down deep in your vessel, you've allowed that things to get stopped up in your life. You're not working for the Lord anymore. You're not excited. You're not burdened about power. You're not excited about what God's doing. Hallelujah to God. You need to be like a madman. Bring your treasure to the top of the ocean front. Oh, mighty God, mighty God, mighty God, mighty God. I told a young man a few days ago, I was talking about being in the ministry, wondering how to get into the ministry. What do I need to do about this, that, and the other? I said, let me tell you something. The last thing we need is a bunch of Kentucky Fried Chicken-eating preachers picking chicken out between their teeth. That's the last thing we need. Grazing around in front of the pulpit and trying to tell everybody else what to do. Not praying, not fasting, not reading the Bible, not producing fruit. Get out of here with that junk. We need somebody with treasure in the house of God. Full of a candle of a special of a higher. What you excited about, Brother Thomas? I've got some treasure, and I'm not going to let it fall to the bottom. I'm going to keep it alive. I'm going to keep it fervent and power and glorious. Oh, my God, my God. Oh, some of you need to go down deep with your soul on the radar. You need to go down deep in your spiritual life and begin to look at things you used to have. Some of you used to be involved. Some of you used to be excited about living for God. Some of you used to want to really work for the Lord and do the things of God. But I'm going to tell you something. Just hang around all you want to. You can stand around the bank and you can brag about what you've got and not do anything with it. But I promise you, there's some people in this place today that they're going out in the deep. And if you sit there long enough, they're going to get it all, friend. I said they're going to get it all. And you won't have anything. You won't have a bit of prayer, a bit of worship, nothing. Oh, maybe you didn't hear me. I said they're going to get all the gold. And before long, you're going to be just like an old brass cup in the midst of a golden, shining, vibrant place that is full of life and power, where worship and glory and praise is going up. You're going to feel like a sore thumb sticking up right in the middle of everybody because you haven't got involved. You've allowed the things of the past to get your victory. You've allowed a few battles in the past to stop you from doing the things of God. My, I don't know about you, but you are to be excited about living for God. I don't know about you, but there ought to be something that makes you want to shout when you come to the house of God. I don't know about you, but there ought to be a praise on your lips. You ought not be dead and idle. You ought to be on fire about living for God. Oh, my God. I was praying a few days ago, and the Holy Ghost spoke to me. He said, you're not praying enough. I said, God, I was praying before I went in to preach. He said, you're not praying enough. I said, God, I feel your presence. I feel your anointing. He said, all you're doing is praying till you're stirred. You're stirred a little bit right now, but you're not praying till you're full. He said, your treasure that's in the bottom is never going to be revealed until you go all the way down and bring it all the way to the top. Come on, somebody. Why don't you go down deep? Why don't you reach down deep? Oh, my God, the devil doesn't mind. You know there's treasure in this church. The devil doesn't mind. You know there's treasure. He doesn't mind that you know there's a work to be done for God. He doesn't mind you bragging about what you're going to do. He doesn't mind you boasting about how you're going to get involved. He doesn't mind you talking about how you're going to start living faithful, coming to the house of God, paying tithes, living right, dressing right, and doing the things of God, reaching souls and being active. And he doesn't mind you talking about all that as long as you don't start producing treasure. He doesn't want you doing that. It's all right as long as you post about it. As long as you're walking around in ankle-deep water, maybe even get on out knee-deep. It is all right if you get on out loins-deep. But start talking about getting in the church, praying through, talking in tongues, getting your heart right, living for God. No, he don't want that. Somebody ought to get right with God in here. Somebody ought to turn that treasure loose. My. Are you looking? Are you searching? Are you looking right now? Are you looking in your vessel? Is your treasure up high? Brother Mike Rowe, have you got your treasure up? Is it lit up right now? Does everybody see it? Is it growing in the beauty of righteousness? Are you reaching for this lost treasure? Are you reaching for the sunken treasure in your life? Maybe you've got bitterness in you. Maybe you've got some bitterness in you that needs to come out. It's not going to come out through just a kind of little bitty prayer line or just a little bit of prayer. You've got to go down deep to get that junk out of there. You've got to go down deep. You've got to move back the dust, the rubbish, the hatred, the barrack, the strife, the ungodliness to get treasure to the top of the vessel. I know what I'm feeling. I know what I feel in my spirit. Oh, my God, it doesn't matter how pretty your vessel is on the outside. It doesn't matter what kind of smile you got on your face. It doesn't matter how many times you sit on the pew and look just right on the pew. That don't matter to God at all. It doesn't matter how long you brag about how long you've been coming to church and sitting on the pew. Before long, if you ain't careful, you don't have anything to show anybody. People that sit down with you are going to be lifeless just like you are. They're going to be dead just like you are. They're going to look at somebody and they're going to say, where is the treasure? It's in my vessel. It's way down deep. That's not good enough. Why don't you bring it to the surface? I need God. Oh, my God. Oh, I don't know about you. I said, I don't know about you, but I want to bring some treasure up right now. I said, I don't know about you, but I'd like to go down and get some treasure right now. I'd like to reach way down deep. I said, I'd like to reach way down deep. Stand to your feet, Sister Kathy. I said, I'd like to reach way down deep. I'd like to get it up out of here. I'd like to reach down here where the devil's trying to bind my mind. You don't have anything to worry about. Do you hear me? God's on your side. His precious blood has washed your mind. You believe God. You want a total. I'm going to tell you something. You're in God, but you need a restoration. In your spirit, God said, I'll give it to you. I'll give you everything. I'll purify you. I'll give you that hope that you're praying for. That spirit of fear that's on you, it'll be gone just like that if you'll believe God. God will give you that spirit of peace. Somebody help me love God. In Jesus' name. He called us to come to the high. Set your hands up. You ready to get victory? You ready to reach down deep and get the treasure back in your life? You need victory. You need total victory. You still got something in your life that needs to go. God's showing it to me, and I'm going to pray for you right now. You're going to believe God through faith to get total victory. I curse that thing. Come out of her. In Jesus' name. Come on, somebody. Hey, some of you ought to reach down and get your treasure and bring it to the top. Hallelujah! Stand to your feet, sir. Lift your hands up. The Lord said, I've come to restore you. I see just a warlike in a home. The Lord said, great peace. Great peace will I give unto you. God said He wants you to venture out in that prayer that He's been talking to you about. He wants you to venture out into it. You known the Lord as a child. You fell away from God. God restored your soul. God said, now, I want you to go back and get that treasure that you've been telling me you're going to do. I want you to reach down deep and get it. Come on, somebody! Hallelujah! God said, I didn't call you. I didn't call you to stand around and watch. I called you to put your hands to work in my kingdom. You said, God, I've lost some food in my past. I've allowed some treasure to sink down. I've allowed my vision to go down to the bottom. God said, yeah, but I'm giving you something to go back and get it. You got to go back and get it. God said, I'll give you a dream. Hallelujah. Can you peace this joy? God said it wasn't over. You wasn't through. You wasn't through. You're holding back on God with your worship. You're holding back on Him. You're worried about what people think. You didn't learn to shout the house down. You need to glorify God. You've got some things that need to come back up in your life. You need to quit feeling guilty. You need to let the devil know I've got a right to praise God. Somebody help me love the Lord. He called him out, son of the Mahata. Oh, mighty God, mighty God, mighty God, mighty God. Some of you are standing around. You're kind of sitting around, and you're looking right now. You're wondering, how am I going to get a hold of it? How am I going to get a hold of it? But God brought back to my mind today about the story of the talents, about the man with 5 talents, the man with 3 talents, and the man with 1 talent. He said, you know why I give the man 5? I said, why, God? He said, because he was the one that believed me the most. He was the one that was in the deep water. You won't get talent. You won't get victory. Standing down, you'll get victory in the middle of praise. Oh, we're going to listen to me. You better listen to me. Some of you young people need to hear me preaching to you right now. You got a good appearance on the outside, but it'll shame you to death if God started telling things that you're doing behind closed doors right now. It'd make you run out that door right now. It'd make you ashamed to yourself. You'd shame your pastor. Some of you'd shame your parents. You'd shame your own mind for God to look down deep into your spirit and begin to talk to you. You know how to get that junk out of your life? Not coming up here and blowing snot around the altar and act like you want to get it right. I'm going to tell you how you're going to get it right. Repent! Get that junk out of your heart and get your mind made up to live right. Oh, he called him a kata. I said, get the treasure back to the top where God belongs. Oh, in Jesus' name, won't you stand to your feet? My God, I understand some of you. I understand some of you. He called us up out of the high end. I know what I feel. I feel it just like an ocean runner. I feel the Holy Ghost beginning to try to take the church out into deep waters. And some of you just want to kind of hang around. You're not wanting to really get involved. I'm going to tell you something. You better hear me. God spoke to me this morning a word. He said, you tell my people, cursed is the man that putteth not his hand to work in the hour of war. God said, the fight's over. Your fight in the past is gone. hanging around back here and trying to defeat the devil. You're playing games with God. God said, quit praying about victory. Don't quit praying about victory over the things that God's promised He'll give the church. Quit going before God saying, God, I need an answer over this. And I'm not telling you not to just say, Lord, we take you. That's all good. But God says, there's a fight before you. And how can you win the next one? Hanging around back here. I want to give you more treasure. I've got greater things ahead of you. Come on, let's lift our hands and love the Lord. My God, my God. Well, somebody come up here. Well, somebody come up and get some treasure and bring it to God. Come on, somebody. I said, why don't you come and get some treasure back in your life? Why don't you reach down and get some things back in your heart? Oh, my God. Oh, my God. Oh, my God. Oh, my God. Come on. The rest of you want to hang around in ankle-deep water? The rest of you want to act like you've got everything you need? I'm telling you, God says, I want to help you get some gold back in your life. I want to help you find some treasure. Oh, God. Come on. Come on. Come on. Those people ought to be praying around here. Those people ought to be seeking God in these altars. He called a shakalamahaye. Fool God, go to hell over living a lie. No way, buddy. I'm going to get some treasure and present it to the kingdom of God. Oh, I'm tired of playing around. I'm tired of hanging around. I want more, God. I want more, God. I want more, God. Lay hands on your neighbor. I said, lay hands on your neighbor and begin to pray for him right now. That's it. That's it. Say, I'm going to get the treasure back. Say, I'm going to get the treasure back. I'm going to go gold hunting. I'm going treasure hunting. I'm not going to sit down here. I'm not going to lay around down. I'm searching for treasure right now. Come on, you need special prayer. Come to the front. If you got a bad burden on your heart, come to the front. Make your way. Fight your way through the crowd like a widow woman.